Because when God hands you a sermon illustration like this, it goes so well with the message that He's given you, you have to use it. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 19. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the times of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I'm going to read that part one more time. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As had just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear they would never enter His rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the encouragement it gives us. Lord, we pray that You would encourage us and show us how to be an encouragement one to another, that we could hear Your Word and Your truth. Father, I ask that You would give me the words to speak concisely and to the point without skipping over what needs to be done. And Lord, that Your people would indeed be encouraged this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. This passage I've been looking at since before the men's retreat. What happened at the men's retreat? Ed was telling you about it. Well, before the men's retreat came, I was looking at this during the Pastors Institute, where we had 100 pastors together. And we were praising the Lord together and being instructed in God's Word and encouraging one another. And we had a time of ministry where literally my brothers in Christ, my fellow pastors, came around me and prayed for me and held me as I cried, as I poured out my heart to God. Then we have men's retreat, where we have 175 men gathered together, and we're encouraged to be men of God, to be men to follow God and to serve Him, to be the men that God created us to be, to come alongside of Him and to come alongside one another. Again, 175 in a small chapel, not huge, worshiping God. Ministering to one another. Encouraging each other. Last week, last Sunday, I didn't get up here and preach. Instead, we gathered around and we prayed for one another, to bless. And we shared the encouragements and the blessings that we had each for each other. We shared the Lord's table, the encouragement for today. We ministered to each other yet at the same time we worshiped God. You need to understand that. Worshiping God isn't just when we stand up and sing or reach in our pocket and put something in the offering. Those aren't the only... Everything we do needs to be worship, and when we're doing it to His name and to His glory, it is worship. Our spiritual act of worship is being obedient to Him. And this is what He's told us to do, to encourage each other. Anybody discouraged last week by having people pray? I'm not seeing any hands. Anybody encouraged? Yeah. It's important that we encourage one another. Why? Well, we see from the illustration which God is giving us through the writer of Hebrews and in the entire book that we call the Bible, God's Word, illustration after illustration of those who have heard of God's blessing, who have even received blessings from God, and yet turned away. I mean, who was more blessed than those who were taken out of captivity from Egypt? Who saw more miracles in their lifetime? They saw the plagues. They were protected from them. They saw Pharaoh's army crushed by the waters which had parted for them to pass. They saw the pillar of fire up on the mountain as Moses went to speak to God. They received manna from heaven, food every day. Manna in the morning, quail in the evening. Food every day to be strengthened. And yet these same people rebelled. Because when they got together, instead of encouraging one another to follow God, they said, you know, it was better back in Egypt. There we had more meat. You know, we had more stuff. We didn't have to be out here in the desert where there's hardly any water. And, you know, the Moses guy, he's up in the mountain, and we don't know if he's going to come back. And, you know, give us a new God, Aaron. And it didn't happen once, it didn't happen twice. Time after time, at least 10 times, we see shown in Exodus and in Numbers how the people of Israel rebelled against God after He had blessed them. And He was present in their midst. They saw the pillar of fire by day over the tabernacle and leading the company. The pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day. They saw that. They witnessed it. They witnessed miracle after miracle. Yet again, when they came together, instead of encouraging one another, they bickered. They turned against Moses. They turned against each other. They didn't come together and encourage. If you take a fire and you build it and you get some good coals going, some good logs burning strong, you take and you separate those logs, they will cool much quicker than they would have if they had been kept together, and eventually they'll go out. But if you take those logs and you put them together and you fan the flames, they'll burn hotter. And if you add more wood to the fire, They'll keep burning and keep burning hotter. And the more you fan it, the more you give it more oxygen, and the more you give it more fuel to burn, the hotter it'll get. It'll get to the point where you can't even get close to it without being injured or fight. We have an illustration where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Why? Well, because they were following God. But the point there is we have the illustration where the guards got killed because the fire was so hot. But they were safe. What happens with that same fire if instead of fanning it to give it more air and giving it more fuel, more wood, what would happen if I was to take and spray with water and pour dirt on it? Well, it's going to go out. Duh! That's us, people. That's the church. The last couple of weeks, we've had some wonderful examples of building the fire. But the fact that the fire's hot now doesn't mean the fire's going to be hot later. How do you keep the fire hot? Anybody? You fan the flame, you add some more fuel. Duh, right? You don't spray water on it and dump dirt on it. Well, don't expect your own faith to get stronger if you're not fanning the flame and giving it fuel. Well, how do I do that? Glad you asked. It says right here, verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, having tasted of God's blessing is no guarantee that you will taste of the reward. Taste of His rest. It's exactly what He's pointing out to us here. We say, once saved, always saved. If Jesus is my Lord and Savior, nobody can take it away. Right, nobody can take it away. But are you going to bury it? Are you going to throw it away yourself? Are you going to strangle it till your faith is dead? Or are you going to feed the faith? How do you feed it? Daily encouragement. Daily encouragement, what does that look like? Read your Bible. Listen and sing worship songs. Come together with other Christians. Minister to one another in worship. This is what the main purpose of gathering together the body of believers is about. We're instructed in the Word of God not to give up the gathering together of the believers. Why? So that the church can become a really good and big institution? No. So that we don't lose our faith. Because the purpose of us is to encourage one another. If you have a need, call and say, hey, will you pray for me? If somebody calls and says, hey, will you pray for me? Pray. Sounds silly. Sounds simple. But amazingly enough, we're self-destructive. Anybody here ever do something that was harmful to yourself? Oh, come on. If I don't see every hand up, then you're lying. You've never done anything that was self-destructive in your life. I ate too much. One. I stayed up all night and I didn't get the rest I needed. And those are the easy ones, you know, the simple ones. We're not even talking about the other abuses that we've done. Sometimes we do things intentionally. Sometimes we do them subconsciously. But why do we do it? Sometimes because the enemy's leading us that way. We need to fight against those leadings. We need to fight against our own temptations to follow, do those things. Again, how? By encouraging one another, coming together for the encouragement. When we come together at the men's retreat, it blessed us, those who were there. You know, David's still jazzed about it. Will is. Paul is. He's up there going, me. Brett, you know, Ed, he can't tell whether he's jazzed about that or about the kids, about going with the kids. He's just, I think he went here, you know, with the men's retreat, he went here, and now the kids, he was able to go, pew. You know, it's like the first stage of the rocket booster for Ed was the men's retreat, and the second stage was the kids. He just got higher. People, this is what this scripture is telling us to do. But there's also a warning that there were those who disobeyed, those who had tasted the blessings. They literally lived off of the manna of God, yet they weren't able to enter into His rest. Why? Because they rebelled. Why did they rebel? What is rebellion? First, it's disobedience, which is sin. That's rebellion. Anybody here ever disobeyed God? Yeah. So we've all rebelled. But the issue here is not that we haven't rebelled. God has forgiven us. But are we entering into a lifestyle of it? Are we encouraging rebellion? We need to do everything we can to discourage it. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Don't allow others to spray water and sprinkle dirt on the fire of your faith, on the fire of your heart for God. If somebody comes along and they're tearing apart other Christians, don't engage in the Christian chewing. I mean, we're the only ones that, you know, kill our own wounded. You know, oh, they sinned. Oh, they're bad. Oh, and we tear them up like something fierce. Tell me how that's going to help the kingdom of God. Please. It's not going to. It's throwing water and dirt on ourselves, on our faith. Now, if we do have that brother or sister who has stumbled and fallen, and we come alongside and we try to lead them back to righteousness for God's sake, we try to be a blessing and encouragement to them. Not the voice of condemnation. They don't need to hear us condemn them. They know what they did was wrong. The Holy Spirit's talking to them. They don't need us doing that. What do they need from us? Encouragement. Oh, what does the Scripture tell us to do? But encourage one another daily. Yes, hold each other accountable. Don't say, you know, I'm going to encourage you to walk strong in your faith, then yeah, it's okay for you to go out and sleep around with 20 guys or gals. Like, no, I'm not going to tell you that. But I am going to say, you know, if you got a problem with that and you want to talk to you about it, I'm willing to help. I'll talk with you. And we'll get some other people around you and we'll try to help you with this. Because this is a problem. There are consequences for not partaking of God's grace, or for partaking of God's grace and then hardening our heart against God. There's consequences to that. people in Egypt who were taken out of Egypt to receive that country, they didn't get to go and share in the God's rest. Do you want to share in God's rest? Then don't allow somebody else to put out your fire. Don't allow the fire to be put out. Okay. We've had a wonderful couple of Sundays here where the Lord has just been blessing us and encouraging us. Let's continue to move this forward and continue to build the flame of our faith. Let's not spread out so that the fire dies. Let's not allow things that are going to dampen the fire or cover up the fuel to enter in to our actions. But instead, might we do those things which are going to fan the flames and add fuel to the fire. Bless one another. Encourage each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for all that you've done. Father God, help us to be an encouragement one to another, that we can encourage those whom you bring to us. Lord, might our faith in you grow stronger each day. Might our hearts not be hardened, but instead, Lord, might they be softened and to you and your will. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to close with what you